Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are talking about the impact of coronavirus on Colombia, and we are joined by Hoban Law Group international attorney, Jose Abu Said. Jose, thank you for being here with us today.
Very welcome.
Jose, tell us how you are faring in the wake of COVID-19 down in Colombia.
Well, you know, I think our government has made bold decisions right on time. I think we have been quick to declare this quarantine. It has been quite strict and strong, and I think that we're doing a good job in relatively flattening the curve. We are waiting for a peak, according to experts, for a peak in sometime at the beginning of May. And in the meantime, you know, hospitals and health professionals are getting ready as quickly as possible. So when I look at Latin America as a whole, I think we are perhaps doing very well compared to other places.
Well, we're very, very happy to hear that. And we did recently speak to somebody down in Argentina, and he echoed that sentiment, said that there's been a lot of effort and care taken in flattening the curve. So we're very pleased to hear that. Jose, there's been some developments recently in Colombia with respect to cannabis regulations as it relates to export. Tell us and walk us through those a little bit.
Yeah, well, the current regulation in force does not allow to export flower from ordinary customs territory into duty-free zone. Right now, as regulation stands right now, we can only export flower abroad to other countries for scientific and research purposes. The proposed regulation that is supposed to be enforced sometime around May will allow the export of dry flower from ordinary customs territory into duty-free zones located in Colombia. That opens a very, very big window of opportunity because duty-free zones in Colombia have a special tax and customs regime. They pay 20%, 19 or 20% income tax rate, as opposed to the regular 33% tax rate in customs, ordinary customs territory. So these will open a very good window of opportunity for companies to set up in duty-free zone, receive flower from customs territory, process it and export it. And of course, exports are much easier from duty-free zone. And the other thing is, of course, that the tax rate is much lower. So this makes it a much more profitable business. The other thing is that this is a proposed regulation supposed to pass sometime in May. We already, in the past days, passed regulation that regulates the manufacturing and sale in the domestic market for white label products. So this really opens the internal, you know, Colombian market of cannabis. This is a big deal, and companies are beginning to start, you know, to formulate products and formulate new developments and getting ready for the domestic market.
Well, so you think about the progress that Colombia has made, and, you know, tying back to the scenario on the ground as we talk about the COVID crisis around the world, the numbers are much lower in most, if not all, Latin American countries than what you see in so many other places around the globe. And that's such a good thing. And it would seem to indicate that if that trend were to continue and those peaks do come along the lines that they were described, that the economy in South America, in particular, Colombia, would be able to maybe re-engage a little bit sooner than other places around the world. Does that also put Colombia in a good position to really move forward in the cannabis industry on a global stage? We've seen in recent weeks some press releases come out from some folks, some of the larger licensees within Colombia, to talk about the fact that they're now fully licensed and ready to do business on a global scale, exporting and otherwise. So do you think those things combined puts Colombia in a really good position, and maybe other Latin American countries, for purposes of gaining some of that market share while other places around the world are slow to recover because the numbers of the coronavirus are so high?
Well, yeah, definitely. Most likely we are going to have a head start after this is over because, you know, if we keep going this way first, we are not going to be hit as hard as other countries. Like, you know, you may have heard about Ecuador that is going through a very, very tough situation. Brazil is going through a very tough situation. Some other countries are taking better measures, but then if you talk about Uruguay, it's a much smaller producer. It's farther down the south. Argentina, the same situation. So I think if we keep going this way, we will have a head start when this is normalized. And by the time this is over, also I am hoping that we have this new piece of regulation ready also. And on the other hand, as you mentioned, yeah, companies, the big licensees here are getting ready are ready now producing and in the capacity to sell product. And definitely, I think we are going to be ahead of the game when this is over.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about the export markets, because what we've talked about so often for Colombia-based cannabis exports was servicing the European market, the North American market, the United States, and or recently Canada does allow for imports. So there is a scenario there where much of the focus has been on exporting overseas or to the north. But in recent months, we've seen Brazil, through its nationalized healthcare system and visa, enact regulations that would allow for medicinal marijuana and for CBD or cannabinoid uses across the board. Now, that creates a domestic market within Brazil. There's 200 plus million people in Brazil, and Colombia itself has over 50 million people, as I understand it. So we're looking at very large populations with healthcare systems. Do you see Colombia potentially following the path of Brazil on the way to using these products for domestic distribution in some attachment to its national healthcare system?
Yeah, definitely. That is the way it is going, and this is the spirit of this new regulation I just mentioned that allows the market to go towards the white labeling. And of course, the result of that is going to be a domestic market where doctors begin formulating their own preparations, and so definitely it is a fact, because this is what this new regulation that just passed is all about. On the other hand, I see that doctors here are more and more interested in the subject. They are beginning to look at this more seriously. There are associations that I have seen, organizing around the cannabis topic, and so on the other hand, you know, as much as we in Colombia complain about our health system because we always think it's insufficient, we have seen around this crisis that we have one of the strongest healthcare systems in Latin America, at least. And so I think once we engage the public health system in this, this is going to generate a very, very robust demand of the products. So I think that the legislation is there. The healthcare system is, you know, relatively strong for Latin American standards. And on the other hand, I see doctors very interested in the topic.
Going back to that export point for a moment, do we see a market like Brazil as a likely destination for Colombia-produced goods from cannabis? And ultimately, Mexico is very likely to follow suit in a similar but somewhat different way for domestic distribution very, very soon, or at least in the next several months. So I guess my point is, do you see Colombia as as servicing those companies? Where do you see this supply go to? Sometime I read a story some while ago that sort of divvied up the global cannabis supply chain and attributed a significant chunk of production to Colombia. I've been to Colombia. We've been there together many times working through and talking with operators in this space. But do we really think Colombia has that much capability for production? And then how do you see it being distributed domestically, internationally? And you know, does that get into Brazil or does that get into other places? That's a compound question, Counselor, but I trust you can handle it.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting question that actually triggers you know, this issue that in Latin America, you know, countries look more to North America and to Europe than they look to their neighbor countries. It's a very interesting question because Brazil being a neighbor country, we have been far apart for many decades. You know, we have failed free trade agreements and we have failed tax agreements. And the reality is that the Amazon rainforest that is between us as a border, it seems to be bigger and thicker than the distance between Colombia and Europe and Colombia and North America. So we have traditionally been far apart from Brazil. We look at Brazil as a weird, strange, difficult to understand market, and it is. And with a lot of barriers, entrance barriers. As much as I think there is a big potential, and actually in the past days, a few days, or a month ago or something, we received here congressmen from Brazil who came to Colombia very interested in seeing the legislative process in Colombia and the implementation process, et cetera. And regardless the fact that there are also some Brazilian-owned companies in Colombia that are licenses in Colombia, mostly I see that we are all looking for North America and Europe. I would say especially Europe as a destination. Many companies, you hear it all the time, are looking to get certified in good manufacturing practices for European standard. You know, they all say, you know, we need to comply with German standards that are the highest, and we have a guarantee that we will enter the European Union market. And so I think our natural tendency is to look at Europe and North America as a market. Now, I think Brazil is going to be attractive for most of the companies that have not reached the highest technical standards or have not been certified for pharmaceutical grade in Europe and you know, standards like that, and that are more looking to export phytotherapeutical compounds or products. Or cosmetic products, or products alike, that is going to be where the Brazilian market is going to be more attractive. As you say, and it also is a challenge for us to have enough production for the Brazilian market, because Brazil is much bigger than Colombia, and we yet have to see how much real production we are capable of issuing, but at a first glance, I see that Colombia is much more interested in Europe and North America.
So, Bob, will you tell us a little bit about what that domestic supply chain in Colombia looks like, especially with Yarumal and Antioquia in mind?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a location north of Medellin that we've worked with a very high, large population of Alzheimer's patients within its town. It's got approximately 10% of its population with Alzheimer's genetically. A very interesting story there regarding genetics from a Spanish conquistador that's well documented, and that town has quite a history. But that aside, looking at a small rural area like Yarumal and figuring out that you can build an economy around the hemp field. If you think about the fact that there is a lot of textiles produced in that particular area, and we have hemp fibers, and then we have the cannabinoids that come off of the hemp plant that indeed could be used for formulations of CBD or otherwise that would help treat these folks and their Alzheimer's symptoms and related ailments. So there's an example right there, just in a small little nutshell, of how you can use one hemp field, a hemp field, to build a local economy. Then you begin to think about how you can utilize the building materials that come from the plant, or other ways to extract portions or remove portions from the inside of the plant that have sort of chemical benefits or other industrial uses. So that is an example of a location that's taking full advantage of the plant from a political standpoint. Its local government is very supportive of it. The province or the Antioquia itself, the state in which it lies, is supportive of that movement. And we see a lot of progress being made there. But it's an example of how you can, in a microeconomic climate, generate jobs, address local needs, and create products and things of value that can be distributed outside of that local community. And Jose, you've talked a lot about how the marketplace looks at cannabinoids, and I think, you know, where I was interested also was what does the local demand, the domestic demand for cannabis within Colombia look like? Is it non-psychoactive? Would you surmise? Is it for THC-related products? Is it smokable? Is it oils? Where do you see? What are your predictions about how that domestic market unfolds?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I think most of all there is a lot of ignorance still around the topic, and I think people need to understand and be educated about the different range of products that can be of use and of help. I think when you talk about cannabis in Colombia and medical cannabis in Colombia, everybody would instinctively think about oils and therapeutical oils for joint pain relief and for sleep and things like that. So I think, you know, the market is ready mostly for those uses that are phytotherapeutical, most of all, in the form of oils. That is where we are. Smokable, and everything that has to do with recreational, of course, is a different issue. We don't have a recreational market yet. It's not regulated. But smokable products, I would say, don't come as the top of mind. I think it would be oils, most of anything.
And Jose, you know, Colombia is a country with just such a rich history around cannabis and cannabis cultivation. I'm just wondering, what makes you the most excited as you look forward to the rest of this year, to 2021 and beyond, for the opportunities for cannabis in Colombia and Latin America as a whole region?
Well, you know, now that you mentioned a key point, and it is that we have a long history of cultivation of cannabis cultivation, and I think, you know, as this market matures, I think, and I would be very, very excited to see this, I think that Colombia has a very unique opportunity to build a very strong brand and a very strong reputation around cannabis cultivation, which now would be a very positive thing, and which used to be for decades a very negative thing. So in other words, something that created so much harm and so much stigma around Colombia for decades could turn around very, very incredibly within the next year or so, and we could transform this into a very, very strong trademark, you know, Colombian cannabis, and that would definitely be very heavy in any international market. So when you ask about, you know, what gets me excited about the coming months, I think definitely, and this is, you know, this is the part where I talk, where I speak as a Colombian who loves the country and who has been a witness of how much, you know, pain and suffering we have gone through with this whole drug policy and history that we have. But what gets me very, very excited is that we are in a very unique position to turn this around and build a very strong trademark that would have really virtually no competition in the world if we know how to position it.
Well, Jose, I really appreciate you sharing that and especially sharing your perspective as just a citizen of Colombia. It is certainly a country that we are, you know, very interested in watching all the developments and in speaking with you. We cannot wait to have you on the Hoban Minute again to keep discussing all of the new developments and all of the new things that are coming out of that country. And it's just a pleasure to have you here. We hope you stay safe, stay healthy during this crisis, and we'll talk soon.
Very happy to be with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minute special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, coronavirus and cannabis.